Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, May 27, 2021. Authorities in Lake State say more than 10 people were killed in a road accident this week.
The accident occurred between Madbar and Bunagok, Hawaiial County, of which seven people died on the spot.
And two road construction workers were killed in central Equatorial State by unknown gunmen.
The state, through its security apparatus, is working hard to establish facts about the incidents and to apprehend the perpetrators.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least 11 people were confirmed dead after a passenger service vehicle collided with an oil tanker in Boom Agok, Payam of Awerial County in Lake State on Wednesday. An eyewitness says 7 people died at the scene, while 4 others succumbed to their injuries while receiving treatment at a hospital in Yurol Town. For VOA News, William Sandy Mabor has more from Rumbek.
Moses Machwajbol, the acting traffic police director for Lake State, says a Land Cruiser carrying 15 passengers was traveling from northern Barghazal State, capital Lawil, to Juba when it was hit by an oil tanker.
Yesterday, the accident occurred between Madbar and Bunagok, Hawaiial County, of which 7 people died on the spot, and one died on the way going to the hospital, which makes 8. The injuries are 7.
Ball says 4 other people, including the assistant driver of the oil tanker, succumbed to their injuries while receiving treatment. He says police arrested the truck driver in Yarul after he attempted to escape. Ball attributes the accident to reckless driving and overspeeding by the driver of the oil tanker. He says it would be impossible to collide with the vehicle coming from the opposite direction if all drivers keep to their sides of the road. Ball accused the oil tanker driver of failing to adhere to traffic regulations aimed at saving the lives of travelers.
I always talk about this careless driving on the road and this speed, the driving speed, which will cause these accidents. Like now, the cause of the accident is a high speed. I am advising these old drivers, say that they limited the speed because this highway go slowly according to the road.
Eyewitness Agany Machar says he saw 8 bodies, including one of a child, being removed from the passenger vehicle. He says the oil tanker driver slammed into a Land Cruiser. Machar says he saw several passengers lying on the roadside with the broken limbs.
Yesterday I saw 7 people dead in a car accident and small child, which make the total number of dead people 8 and 6 with serious wounds. I also heard today other people die later on their way to the hospital and others are alive receiving treatment at Yarul Hospital. Some of them have broken thighs and legs.
South Sudan in Focus reached out to a medical official at Yarul Town Hospital for comment on the condition of injured, but the official declined to comment, saying he and other medical workers had no time to talk as they were focusing on rescuing the lives of the victims in the accident. In a separate development in Lagos State yesterday, police spokesperson Captain Elijah Mabormakwai says multiple attacks were carried out by armed men alleged to be from the Agar sections of Rumbek East County. Makwai says the gunmen attacked Magar village of Alwagluak Payam, stealing an unspecified number of heads of cattle.
A group of armed youths went to a village called Majok under Mopodit Payam and raided cattle at around 5 a.m. During the pursuit, one person was killed from the raiders. Another attack came from some armed youths of Agar who went to Magar village of Alwagluak area and they raided 12 head of cattle from wildlife sergeant major to a duck, and they went away with the cattle. No recovery was made.
Acting governor of Lagos State, Post Badindut, want armed youth to stop fighting in the state and allow people to cultivate their land. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek Lake State.
The acting Minister of Information for Central Equatorial State says unknown gunmen killed two people, including a Chinese national, in the Jebel Lado Payam of Juba County on Wednesday. The minister says state authorities are investigating the attack. For VOA News, Viola Elias has the story from Juba.
Acting Central Equatorial State Information Minister Wai Godwill confirms the incident took place on Wednesday. He says authorities are still investigating the motive behind the attack on a Chinese national and a South Sudanese soldier.
A Chinese by the name of Tang Jong-hein and a soldier belonging to the Tiger Battalion have been killed in the area of Jebel Lado Payam of Juba County, and the motives of the killing is unknown. And until now, their silence is at large. The government is trying its best to apprehend their silence and establish the motive behind the murder.
Local media reports in Juba says the Chinese national was an employee of the Shandong High Speed Company that is constructing the Juba-Rumbek Highway. Report says the Chinese national was driving a truck loaded with construction materials, including gravel, when an unidentified assailant began shooting at him. The South Sudanese soldier was escorting the Chinese national and was a few meters behind when the gunman also shot him. Godwill says security forces have been dispatched to track down and apprehend the culprits.
The state, through its security apparatus, is working hard to establish facts about the incidents and to apprehend the perpetrators, establish the motives, and bring them to justice.
Colonel Dak Carlo, deputy spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, did not answer repeated calls for comment on the incident. In a Facebook post this morning, Huanyin, the Chinese ambassador to South Sudan, condemned the killings and offered his condolences to the families of the victims. In his post, Huanyin said it was sad to learn of the deaths of the Chinese worker and South Sudanese soldier, and that, I quote, such violence runs counter to the common will of South Sudanese people for peace and development. It is also a reminder to us that we still have a long journey to go before durable peace would be achieved, end quote. The Chinese ambassador said he trusts the perpetrators will be brought to justice, and in his words, peace will finally prevail over violence. South Sudan in Focus reached out without success to the Chinese embassy in Juba for comment on the incident. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Jonglei State, where police and Ministry of Health officials say they have shut down private health facilities found to be operating without proper licenses or qualified staff. The shutdown began Tuesday following an order from the State Minister of Health to screen all private health facilities in Bor Town. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Major Majak Daniel Tuor, the acting Jonglei State Police spokesperson, confirms officers have forcefully closed at least 25 private clinics, pharmacies and drugstores in Bor Town during the operation that continues today. He says the police are entitled to arrest anyone who resists the shutdowns.
And it is all about implementation of the order of the Ministry of Health, Jonglei State, trying to screen the private clinic within Jonglei State for municipality in order to make improvement on the service and quality of the service of medical services being rendered and given within for municipality. But we, as the police, we are entitled as law enforcement agencies. So we are told to make what has been decided by the policymakers to be implemented. So we are facing many resistance.
Jonglei State Health Minister Atong Kualmanyang announced last week that any medical facilities found without operating licenses and qualified employees must be shut down. Manyang says her ministry is working with the security operatives, including the police, to ensure that the order is fully implemented. She is urging the owners of the health facilities, which have been closed, to obtain the required legal documents before reopening or risk severe repercussions.
The disadvantage of not doing that are outweighing the benefit, because if they come and get those documents, that is as simple as that. But if they do not follow that, it means it will cost them more because they will also get more penalties. They may also even go to the court. I think for their own good, it's better to come and get the documents and then you start your work.
Manyang says the decision to screen all clinics, pharmacies and drug stores was made after the health ministry received numerous reports of patients dying while being treated at private health facilities due to unprofessionalism on the part of medical workers. Several owners of the affected health facilities declined to comment on the closure of their facilities. Bo resident Aten Jacob Akoy says the shutdowns will help improve health services.
There has been unprofessionals, those who have not specialized in the medical field. They are the one working in the market. They have turned medical profession as a business thing, in which once you move to Uganda and just come with medicine and open these or our own whatever house and start selling drugs, they don't even care about the temperature and some conditions which are necessary for the drug stores. So we support and it's the right decision taken by the ministry. And the minister in particular, we thank her for commitment.
Akoy says the health ministry should continue to regulate all health facilities so that quality services are provided to the local population. In a survey conducted last month by the state health ministry, only 53 out of 109 health facilities that were assessed presented operational licenses. Three facilities had expired documents. The same survey also revealed that some pharmacies and drug stores hired unqualified employees. The workers were either underage or did not have proper medical training. In March last year, a court in Bor sentenced two health workers to 3 years in prison after both were found guilty of medical negligence in connection with the death of a 15-year-old girl at a private clinic. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, COVID cases spike in Uganda. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when was the last time you told someone you appreciate them? And what was it for?
I don't remember the very last time, but what I can remember now is telling my girlfriend that she was beautiful. She's beautiful and I can't just let her go.
Just this morning, I did appreciate my daughter for the progress that she's made and for working so hard and for everything that she's doing, you know, trying to learn things, doing this. There are many things that she's really surprising me for. So yeah, just this morning, I did that.
2-3 days ago, it was just to say thank you and show more encouragement. It was my daughter for coming first position in school, and I needed to appreciate her so that she can continue on that same track.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Authorities in Cameroon are clearing its streets in the central Yaoundé of more than 300 psychiatric patients, officials say, have been abandoned by their families. The Central African State says stress from Boko Haram terrorism, separatist crisis in its western region, and the increased consumption of hard drug are responsible for the increasing number of mental patients. For VOA News, Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Nous souhaitons que les familles puissent notifier leur cas.
Law Mengeme is the director of mental health at Cameroon's Ministry of Health. She speaks to a group of about 70 people at the central market in Yaoundé on why psychiatric patients should not be left on the streets.
On estime que il faut les enlever de la voie publique.
Mengeme says she is making it clear that mentally ill patients should not be removed from the streets as refuse. She says local councils in Cameroon have social affairs services that will assist in the treatment of all abandoned mental health patients in the company of family members. Among those listening to Mengeme is 49-year-old secondary school teacher Theresia Mbite. Mbite says her 19-year-old son became violent in the English-speaking northwestern town of Bamenda in 2017. She says his son began taking illegal drugs when separatist fighters prohibited children from going to school.
I have done a lot. Many people can testify. He escaped from here, trekked to Nigeria. The person picked him in Nigeria, called me one day after 6 weeks of his stay there, and then told me I had to borrow money to go collect him from Nigeria. When I brought him back here, I thought things were going to become better, but nothing changed.
Mbite said she traveled from Bamenda to Yaoundé when Cameroon State Radio reported that the government was helping families take their loved ones off the streets. The health ministry reported that the number of abandoned psychiatric patients increased from 50 to more than 300 in Yaoundé within 2 years. At least 2,700 patients are on the streets all over Cameroon, with more than 400 in the commercial capital city Douala. Cameroon counted 1,300 such patients in its territory in 2019. Franklin Gwen is supervisor of the Mental Health Department of the Cameroon Baptist Convention Health Services. He says abuse and trauma from the various crises Cameroon faces has led to an increase in the number of psychiatric patients.
There are several reasons why people who are developing mental illnesses are increasing. Some of them are very eminent, including the socio-political crisis in the Northwest region, the Southwest region, and the Boko Haram crisis in the North. This has given an opportunity for a lot of abuses, violence, and trauma. And these traumas can result to the development of mental illnesses. We also have schools where teenagers are using a lot of drugs. All these drugs are contributing to development of mental illnesses.
Traditionally, many Cameroonians believe that mental health crises are divine punishments for wrongdoing. Some say witchcraft or spiritual possession are responsible for mental illness. Fonbe Hedwick runs Living Vine Mental Health Center in the English-speaking northwestern town of Bamenda. He is part of the campaign to remove mental patients from the streets. Fonbe says some patients are escaping from the homes of African traditional healers and Pentecostal pastors who abuse them, claiming that they are chasing evil spirits.
They should not be beaten. Patients with psychiatric conditions should not be tied up. Some kind of brutal force should not be meted on them. We encourage families to avoid taking them to places where they think that they will just pray for this patient and they get miracle healing, or to traditional medicine people who will think that they will do some concoction and this patient will get well. And this is our message to all the families and all the communities.
Fonde said with the arrival of the coronavirus in Cameroon in March 2020, many families have lacked the resources to care for psychiatric patients at home, putting them on the streets. The health ministry is asking family members to take relatives with mental health problems to hospitals for treatment. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Uganda is battling a second wave of COVID-19, which has been predicted to be much more worse than the first one. Within about 3 weeks, the country has reported almost 3,000 new infections, with many reporting moderate to critical forms of the disease. For VOA News, Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
Since the second wave hit Uganda towards the end of last month, medics and health officials have seen a sharp rise in the number of severe cases, a situation that is overwhelming treatment facilities. Dr. Jane Ruth Acheng is Uganda's health minister.
The situation is not good. The number of cases are increasing daily. The resurgence is true. It is real. Our isolation facilities, especially the intensive care unit at Mulago, is already full. If you are eligible for a bed right now, you may go on a waiting list. Even the children, we have children in our isolation facilities.
The medics say that what is more worrying is that the new patients require 10 times more oxygen, yet the available accessories have already run out. Dr. Muhammad Mubiru is the principal hospital administrator at Entebbe General Hospital, one of the isolation and treatment facilities.
And this also includes the youth, 20, 22, 23. So, and the condition is not the usual one. So many of them are on oxygen.
Also, characteristic of the resurgence is that the patients deteriorate into ICU within a very short time as compared with the first wave. Dr. Moses Mwanga is the director of Entebbe General Hospital.
Those days, the person will progress slowly. But you see things happening within the few hours this person has come. You see the person who can breathe changes within a short time. But those days, you wait. But these days, the person in one day can change what the other person will be changing in a week.
The resurgence comes at a time many Ugandans have abandoned the rules for preventing COVID-19. And the government is considering a new lockdown if the caseload continues to rise. Health Minister Acheng has advised Ugandans to protect themselves from COVID-19.
If people are not careful, we may end up losing many more people than we did before. Because apparently Ugandans seem to have forgotten that we have COVID-19 and people are back to their normal life. People don't want to wear masks. People don't want to sanitize. They don't want to social distance. So my appeal to you is to take COVID-19 very seriously and to take this resurgence as more dangerous than the first.
Uganda is currently administering the second dose of vaccine to those who received the first one in March. But it seems many Ugandans have shunned the vaccinations. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Still on COVID, Kenya's western city of Kisumu now has the country's highest number of confirmed COVID-19 infections, passing the capital Nairobi. The jump in cases comes a day after an opposition leader addressed large crowds in Kisumu, which also reported Kenya's first case of the variant first spotted in India. For VOA News, Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
According to the health ministry, the county of Kisumu is recording a high number of COVID-19 positive cases. The lakeside city Tuesday recorded almost a third of all 382 positive cases recorded in the country. Kisumu County Health Minister Boaz Otieno says the outbreak has escalated over past 10 days or so.
We are in a major, transmission zone. To date,
we have over 4,000 cases that have been confirmed as at the end of last week, and about 300 or so of them had been diagnosed in the last 7 days.
Otieno blames Kisumu's increase on the easing of restrictions in the capital, Nairobi, and surrounding areas.
There was an inevitable rebound influx. Generally, there's a lot of traffic between Kisumu and Nakuru and Nairobi. So if you confine people and then you release, the tendency is people to kind of, you know, rebound and go back home.
In late March, President Uhuru Kenyatta restricted people's movements in Nairobi and in the counties of Kajiado, Nakuru, Kiambu, and Machakos in an effort to contain a rise in COVID-19 cases. The president eased restrictions a month later. Health officials have warned the country may witness another wave of cases in July if people continue to disregard health protocols designed to limit the spread of the coronavirus. The increase in infections comes as Kisumu County prepares to host an Independence Day ceremony on June 1st that Kenyatta is set to attend. Leonora Odinga is a Kisumu resident who has a mixed feelings about the upcoming event.
I may be worried, but at the same time, I may be anxious to see my president come and talk to us. Some of us, we had not even seen him. We need development. And without development, we cannot prosper anywhere. It is the people who have to take precautions to take care of themselves.
2 weeks ago, Kisumu was the first town in Kenya to record a case of the Indian COVID-19 variant. Otieno said there is nothing to worry about and health protocols will be followed during the ceremony.
For the main venue, we'll have a very limited number. The stadium, I'm told, has a population capacity of over 30, but it will only allow 3,000 people in by invitation, and the seating will be very controlled, ensuring of masks and washing of hands will be ensured.
Kenya's Health Minister Mutahi Kagwe said Tuesday that at least 950,000 people countrywide were vaccinated against the coronavirus. The East African nation has recorded 169,000 COVID-19 cases and more than 3,000 deaths from the disease. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
That's our show for this Thursday. Let us know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We now leave you with the song Peter Ahead. We have been listening to Dick Coot and the song Peter Aher. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.